Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. This is our talkback program, no guest, just your opportunity for the entire hour to call in and raise issues, address issues or comments made on previous programs. Our number to call is 888-874-4888. So I'll be taking calls. I'll give you the latest on health and nutrition. Then I'm going to take a look at what's happening with all those human and synthetic hormones now contained in much of our fresh produce. How did it get there? Also from our environmental section, the looming future of genetically modified technology, transhumanism, biocrops, and more. We're not talking about far off in the future. We're talking about now. They're even going to put drugs and vaccines right into the food that you eat. I'll deal with that. Then today, we're going to have a look at what ALEC, and you know listening to this program, what ALEC is. ALEC is the organization, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that represents about 400 major corporations. And for 40 years, in secret, they've been meeting with your state legislators to give them bills that the legislators then take back and put into laws. Now they're going in three states right now. ALEC is pushing bills that would require, mandate, teaching climate change denial in schools. I'll tell you which schools, which bills, and how they're doing it. Our commentary today comes from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. This is also a part of a continuation on fascism in America. Each week I'll be sharing several specific commentaries or articles showing you that fascism is alive and well in this country. His article is entitled, In America, Lull, We No Longer Have the Truth. We'll look at that. Also today, the latest on vaccines. I have collected a lot of reports on vaccines and autism, a new scientific review. This was from CBS News, Cheryl Atkinson. Then I'll give you a startling statistic. Quote, multiple vaccine doses have resulted in up to 145,000 child deaths in the past 20 years. And this will be from Jonathan Benson, staff writer of Natural News. We'll give you that. I'll also give you how frequent are the deaths of fetuses once the mother gets the flu vaccine. From Christina England, FactTruth, this number is staggering. So then why are we advocating all pregnant women get vaccinated with the flu vaccine since it's so deadly? I have seen many people who've ended up with herpes who never had any sexual contact and therefore ask, how did that happen? I remember once I was counseling a nun who was celibate and a virgin. She was 45, and yet she had herpes. And I said, I suspect that it was a contaminant of the vaccines. Well, now a new study shows that's correct. I'll show you how you can get herpes from the chickenpox vaccine. So we have a lot to share. And again, we'll be taking your calls throughout the program. So you can call at any time. And our number is 888-874-4888. Carotenoids. And that's what you get when you eat your vegetables, especially your colorful vegetables. According to the latest study, it can do a lot to help protect your brain from premature aging and from the plaque that is laid in the brain that causes memory loss and ALS and all kinds of conditions, including Alzheimer's. This was published in the Annals of Neurology, and it's all about the intakes of vitamin C and carotenoids. And so my suggestion is have at least 11 servings of organic fresh fruits and vegetables every day. Also, there is a nutrient inside the herb milk thistle that you can buy in any health food store called Celebenin, and it protects against ultraviolet-induced skin cancer. This is from the University of Colorado Cancer Center. It says, a pair of University of Colorado Cancer Center studies published this month show that the milk thistle extract kills skin cells mutated by the ultraviolet radiation and protects against damage from ultraviolet radiation, thus protecting against induced skin cancer and photoaging. When I was down on the ranch in Texas, I had no problem going out in the middle of the day. It'd be 110 degrees. I was training for the World Games and the National Championships, and I had to put in some serious miles, generally 4 hours of training a day. And I would be just in my gym shorts, sweating and training. I took a lot of vitamin C and other antioxidants before I went out, knowing that this would help protect me against some of that damage. I also took coconut oil and coconut water. That's what I rehydrated with. And then after I came in after my workout, I took even more antioxidants. Well, the research shows that was the right thing to have done because that protected me from the free radicals created from the exercise, but also from the sun. I've always taken milk thistle because I believe we should take things to prevent problems with our liver and kidneys and heart, like taking coenzyme Q10 helps prevent a heart attack. Taking L-carnitine, C-R-N-T-I-N-E, at 1,000 milligrams helps give energy to the heart and therefore helps keep it strong and healthy. Taking vitamin E helps naturally thin the blood, less likely to have a stroke if you're taking about 800 units of natural mixed tocopherols each day. Taking the nutrients specifically to the brain keeps your neurons healthy longer, even creates new dendrites in the brain. So anything that we can do that protect us from the impact of aging. Now, I recommend people, you know, protect themselves when they go out in the sun. You're getting vitamin D, but not to do what I did, because I also noticed that my skin in a period of about 3 years was aging. And then I realized that I could not take enough vitamin C to protect me from that much exposure. So then when I got back up to New York, I took intravenous vitamin C every day. I was experimenting, and it seemed to work, but it didn't work as well until I started flooding my body with phytonutrients, where I might take a glass before that of, you know, 16-ounce glass of vegetable juice a day, organic. Then I started taking 10, 12 glasses, and then spiking each one. And I mean heavy-duty spiking with compounding powders. And then I noticed, and it took about a year, that my skin was getting younger and that I started to compare photographs. And every year I take different photographs. I take photographs, athletic photographs, you know, poses, and then I compare them. Am I aging? At what level? Can I slow it down? It's just so I can see this. And I put a lot of this up on my website so you can see it also. Here's a picture 30 years ago. Here's a picture 20 years ago. Here's a picture today. You show me if you can see any difference in the body in 30 years. It's there for you to see. In fact, I'm going to be taking some photos tomorrow just to see, compare close-ups. Of course, no makeup and high resolution just to see a difference. Because if there is a difference, I'm going to try to figure out how to solve it. Because I'm a big believer that we have the tools now to slow down and reverse the aging process. But we have to be aware of what contributes to the aging process. Well, that's where I've spent my entire professional and clinical career, is understanding aging. So that's why I simply don't cheat, because if you cheat, no one's going to know what you do, what you eat, what you drink, what you smoke. It's your business. It's your right. But your cells will know. And one glass of alcohol kills an awful lot of brain cells, liver cells, eye cells, heart cells, kidney cells. So then how do you gain something from that? Well, you don't. And that will prematurely age you. And when you eat, you know, the fried chicken or the barbecued ribs, you're creating glycated products, which are extremely damaging to the telomeres, which are the caps of your chromosome that determine how long the cell will last, how long it will live. So what I found was that when I was flooding my body with both green and red powders at a level I had never done before, I noticed that there was a very strong change. And I remember sitting with a magnifying glass that photographers use and going from picture to picture in just 1 year. And I could see a definite difference. And then it made me realize that what Dr. Wilfred Shute had told me in 1976 at a conference in New York City at the Waldorf Astoria of these great vitamin pioneers, the people who had actually discovered vitamins. Albert St. George, who discovered vitamin C, ascorbic acid, won the Nobel Prize. Dr. Ellis on B6, etc. That you have to determine your biological profile, meaning how much of a given nutrient do you need in order to slow down and reverse the damage to your DNA. Hence, when you slow down and reverse the damage to your DNA, you're slowing down reversing the aging process. And because no one, I mean not a single human being where I grew up, ever slowed down anything because they didn't think it was possible. Why? Because they were told it wasn't possible. You were old when you were 40 where I grew up. You were ancient when you were 50. Well, Tom Cruise is 50. How's he look? Looks pretty good, I think. So we had to change our idea of aging, because our generation, the baby boomers, we're just too smart to let all the crap happen that's happened in the past as inevitable to us. We're just not going to do it. And that's good. That kind of defiance and that self-interest is motivating us to finally do some things that we didn't do as a generation. We didn't do a whole lot for our health. We did a lot for our career and our families and to obtain a certain status in society and enjoy all the benefits of our culture and go through all the neurotic and psychotic episodes in our relationships. All the stupidity and all the poor parenting and spoiling and conceit, we did it all. I wrote a book on it called Living in the Moment, Prescription for the Soul, and the Baby Boomers Guide to Getting It Right Second Time Around. Now I've got a new book that will be coming out in about 6 months on the youngest generation. It's 800 pages on the mistakes they're making and how to get it right. But the very contempt for authority and the defiance of the status quo that we engaged in, from protesting the war in Vietnam to beginning the sexual revolution and supporting the revolutions in music and trends and fashion, our environmental consciousness, the women's movement, that very same unbridled energy that went into dormancy and grew some long hair and got moldy, it's now alive. It's awakened because suddenly it's that person looking in the mirror thinking, my God, what happened? Where'd my looks go? Where'd my body go? You know, when your breasts are bouncing off your knees and your testicles are hitting the floor and your butt, where to go? And you're looking at your jowls and you look like a hound dog and you're thinking, I'm getting scared of this. Then they suddenly go, what can I do? They have awakened. Well, for those small percent, probably 5%, which is still a lot of people, it's about 10 million of that generation, who have been living very consciously and watching the choices they make and living preventatively, they go to their reunions and they're depressed because someone will come over and ask, are you someone's son or daughter? And no, they're the person, but you're both the same age. How does one look so much older than the other? Because every single choice you make in life has a consequence. Every single one. So you ask, would you wish, okay, what can I do now? All right. The good news is that we have to start looking at changing the potencies, especially of the nutrient-dense but low-calorie living foods that actually repair the DNA. like blueberries and raspberries and strawberries and pomegranate and chlorella and wheatgrass, the things that people would never have taken before. You go into a health food store by the juice bar. Let's say there are 400 juices ordered in a day. Not 20 of them will be wheatgrass juice. And yet that wheatgrass juice, that 2 ounces, will have more potency than any juice anyone else had that day. So there's people who are aware, and then there's super aware people. We just have to change this idea that a little bit of bad stuff isn't bad. It is. That, my body will expel it and it'll all be okay. It won't. That it's all right to have, small amounts of, junk food. It isn't. Unless you want to live with this myth that somehow there's not going to be a consequence. There'll always be a consequence. You just don't know when and what degree. So when you're taking things like your carotenoids, this study is showing it's protecting your brain. Another study, University of Colorado, showing that milk thistle is protecting your skin from that sun cancer. So, things to do, and that's important. This is something we all have known, or should have. This is from a Swedish university, Umeå University. It says, TV viewing and sedentary lifestyle in teens linked to disease risk in adulthood. I'll quote this. This is a team of scientists from the university in collaboration with colleagues in Melbourne, Australia, have found that television viewing and lack of exercise at age 16 is associated with a risk of developing metabolic syndrome at age 43. Now, this audience knows that metabolic syndrome is a series of disorders of the metabolism. Obesity, especially abdominal fat, elevated blood lipids like triglycerides, hypertension, impaired glucose intolerance, which, by the way, generally develops into type 2 diabetes, and then increased risk of stroke or cardiovascular disease. Now, it was previously shown that a lack of physical activity increased the risk of metabolic syndrome, but now it's shown that just sitting and watching television, this is published in Diabetes Care. So my suggestion, simply limit your television to 1 hour a day. Limit your computer use at home to 1 hour a night. And that's it. And limit your cell phone to a half hour. Try that. See if it doesn't make a difference. University of Michigan, empathy and age. According to a study of 75,000 adults, women, as they get older, become more empathetic. Than younger people. Quote, overall, the late middle-aged adults were higher in both of the aspects of empathy that was measured, and this was published in the Journal of Gerontology and Physiology and Social Sciences. So, think about what we do as we get older. We become, if we're aware, if we're alive, if we're paying attention to the world around us, we become aware of the world as it is. We're no longer living with such illusions that people will always be an extension of what we need them to be. They'll be what they are. And therein lies part of our empathy, looking at the world for what it is and then realizing what we can do to make a difference and how and where we might be able to help people. Mindfulness meditation heightens a listener's music engagement. This is in the University of Oregon, and it says that, I'll quote this, when DeAnthony Thomas returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown in the 2013 Fiesta Bowl, says University of Georgia researcher Frank Diaz, Thomas put Ducks fans into a heightened zone of engagement for watching the game, not unlike what was experienced by music students who were first exposed to a brief session of mindfulness meditation before hearing an opera passage. As a high school orchestra and band educator in Florida, Diaz had flirted with yoga and light meditation in a quest to heighten music engagement. He noticed, anecdotally, a connection to improved attention by his students. Now professor at the University of Oregon School of Music and Dance, Diaz is exploring how mindfulness meditation may enhance both music engagement and performance. And that's good. Well, it's relatively simple how this would work. And that is that through mindful meditation, you simply eliminate extraneous stimuli. And that would be true for anyone who is highly disciplined. You put your energy in one direction. You focus it, and you exclude anything extemporaneously that is going to interfere. And therefore, you're able to keep your mind on point. In athletics, it's called being in the zone. If I'm in a race, I'm not hearing what anyone's saying. I'm just breathing and listening to my breath and feeling my energy and the muscles move. Mindfulness. So if you put yourself into a mindful state and you attended a concert, let's say an opera, you'd be more aware. You'd be more connected to it. Now think how many times people have gone to a cultural event and they're thinking about everything else. Their mind is somewhere else. And therefore, they don't get the full benefit and the richness of that cultural experience. So just practice mindful meditation each day helps us just become more aware of whatever it is that we're engaged in, even in conversation with another person. I'm Gary Knoll. Time for your calls. Our number is 888-874-4888. We're going to take a break and come back and take your calls. So please stay with us. A lot to come. Say hello to Barbara from Florida. Hi, Barbara. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. Hi. I'd like to ask you if you recommend drinking distilled water at all, even occasionally, like at time of the fast.
No. I believe in drinking mineralized water because our bodies are predominant in water more than anything else, more than protein, fats, bone. We are made up of water. It could be anywhere from 70 to 72%, some organs as much as 74% water. So therefore, water is the nutrient of life along with oxygen, and we need minerals. And heavy minerals such as calcium, magnesium, and boron, and phosphorus, come through quality drinking water. So if you filter out the toxins that you don't want in your body, but you allow the body to have the minerals, then you're benefiting. So not distilled water, regular mineral water is good. Okay, Barbara?
I see. Mm-hmm. And how much water would you say on average on a daily basis?
There's no one formula that's going to work for everyone. Because what if you're an athlete? What if you're overweight? Do you ever notice how much overweight people perspire? What kind of bedding do you sleep on at night? Does your mattress allow you to breathe, your skin to breathe, which wicks off and evaporates more water? A lot of people have a mattress cover that's made out of just cheap plastic. As a result, there's no capacity for the body to evaporate the water, so they're going to sweat more. What kind of clothing do you wear? What kind of shoes? Your feet let a lot of moisture out. And if you wear sandals or shoes that allow your feet to perspire, same way with underwear, same way with socks. Now, where do you get most of your liquid? Do you get it in the form of juices? Well, 97% of all juices, water. The rest is the organic and mineral content and fiber content. So you have to take all that into account. But generally, if a person got close to a gallon a day, they'd be getting, for many people, what they could use. And then you have to have an impedance test done to determine, are you at over or under your ideal hydration level. If you're exercising, you're going to use more water. Okay?
Hey, Gary.
All the best to you. Let's say hello to Vic from Brooklyn. Hi, Vic.
Yeah, hi, Gary. I was just wondering, you know, I've been listening to you for a while regarding the economy. I have a pension, but I also have a 401k plan. I'm 50 years old. I was wondering if you think it's time now to use the 401k money to short the market.
No.
Okay.
No, because right now we have extremes in the marketplace. On the one hand, if you look at China last week had to allow their local governments to roll over $480 billion in debt that was due. That's out of some nearly $6.5 trillion loans the Chinese government has given to companies inside its own country. In effect, China is insolvent. The United States is not just insolvent, we're hyper-bankrupt. We collectively owe in unfunded and underfunded entitlements about anywhere from $120 to $140 trillion, not just Medicare, but also corporate debt of $25 trillion, and then homeowner debt, mortgage debt, credit card debt, and all this other debt, and pension debts. So if our gross domestic product is $15 trillion, but if almost 20% of that is from the financial sector, and if that money doesn't go out to Americans, it doesn't build factories, it doesn't create jobs, it its own unique circled economy, meaning they create a special product, let's say it's derivative, and no one else can play. They're going to bet through, let's say, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, whether the price of gold or water or soybeans or pork bellies or land is going to go up or down. And someone will take a bet on the top end, someone will take a bet on the low end, someone will win, someone will lose. And there's $600 trillion of that derivative position out there. Now, I'll bet that most people have never even heard of the companies that are most powerful who are actually behind that. A whole movement. We are clueless about our economy. Most people actually believe that our economy is pretty good. It's not, because we don't have one economy. So when you're shorting an economy, what are you shorting? And think of the people who right now are the baby boomers, my generation, and your generation. You're at the bottom end of the baby boomers. We are the most indebted. We have we accumulated the most wealth. We had the most savings, but now it's gone because we made a lot of bad investments and we gambled when the bubble was in effect and low interest rates. I knew people that had 5 and 6 homes and apartments, flipping them, making 5 to 15% off each one, and then they got caught in the tidal wave and they lost it all. This has happened to so many people. So that's an economy. The working person that has to work 3 jobs, that's an economy. The senior citizens living off just a Social Security and it can't happen because it doesn't pay for all their bills, that's an economy. The professional class of lawyers, engineers, CPAs, and accountants and that used to make $300,000-$400,000 a year that are now making $75,000-$150,000 a year, that's a different economy. Those who are the middle class and working and bureaucrats, that's an economy. So when you start playing in this market, understand that this market is a bubble. It's a massive bubble. Because every time the Federal Reserve loans out money at zero interest to banks and takes back the bank's bad debts, every bad thing the bank has done is washed clean. They're given 100% forgiveness. Their interest is forgiven. Their principal is forgiven. All their accumulated debt is forgiven. Well, that deletes the money supply. Or it actually increases the money supply, but deletes the value of the dollar. So you start going into the bond market, which is a massive bubble that's going to explode, and you go into the stock market, which it now is at 14,000. Its real value, based upon the actual economies, should be around 6,000. sooner or later there's going to be a correction. So if you have a 401k and it's gained back some of this money, my suggestion is forget that it's there, because that's your security for the future. That's what I would do. Okay.
Oh, how would you protect it if the market goes down to, you know, from where it is now, down to 9,000?
Well, you're going to pay as much taking it out in taxes as a penalty as what you would probably lose in an adjustment. So I would still let it be unless you needed it for an investment that would make you money. And the only thing I can see that would make people money in this market is something that they could own that commercialize. I don't believe that anybody should be playing in the same game as the people who control so much. Now, I'm doing a major article. I've been working on it for over 3 months. I will have it ready and ready to publish and ready to present probably by the end of this coming week. In it, I take on the issue that there is a world cabal that's trying to take over all of our lives. That's not true. But there is a group of powerful people who are more powerful than anyone had ever imagined. And what they actually, what is their motivation? What are they intending to do? What are they doing? What have they been doing? Why haven't we paid attention to it? Those who are in the media and in the official political establishment have refused to acknowledge it, and those who have been looking have over-exaggerated. It's 147 companies that control, through their subsidiaries and their interlocking boards of directors, they control almost 80% of the entire American economy. Well, then who are they? What is their intent? So I'm going to get into all that. You don't want to be playing in their game. You'll lose. So now, for the average person, I would say, look at your life, and if you're in debt, what can you do to get out of it? If you have any mortgage that could cause your life to be stuck just paying your mortgage, I would sell. I'd walk away from it. The most important advice I can give now is get out of debt. Having junk silver and gold and cash not in banks is the best investment advice I could give. And then get property that you could live on, commercialize, that is in a rural environment. And have your own home-based business, something that people could benefit from, something you could benefit from, something you'd find joy in doing. I do not see our economies, as we now have them structured, surviving in the next 3 years. I believe there'll be some major challenges to this. Already, just yesterday, the pound fell, the most it's fallen in 3 years against the euro. And the euro, all 17 euro nations are in trouble. Even the most powerful, Germany, because it's lent the most, but it's backstopped by the European Central Bank, which is backstopped by the Federal Reserve. So you have to understand that those who are the most powerful cannot lose. They're too big to fail. When you're a part of that 147 major corporations, you will always be bailed out. You will always be helped. But if you're not, you're not going to be helped at all. And just imagine how powerful faith and belief in illusion is. Not a single person had their mortgages forgiven or reduced or the interest forgiven by any bank or federal government. And yet all the major too-big-to-fails had all of their debt forgiven and unlimited amounts of money given in return. And so how do you wrap your mind around that? How do you continue to support people when you see that they're not held accountable for their illegal deeds, their unethical actions, and yet we are supposed to be held accountable for everything? So don't play in anyone else's game. You'll lose. All the best to you. Let's say hello to Monica from California. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Gary. I was thinking of getting some LASIK eye surgery because I'm very nearsighted and I'm very athletic. And these glasses, sometimes I can't find them and they're right on my head or they're just getting in my way of my, you know, workouts. And what do you think about that?
It is one of the safer and more efficacious procedures in all of medicine. I would recommend it.
Okay, great. And another question, real quick, is the young Thai coconuts. I hear, you know, some stories that they're overprocessed. The white ones that are really sweet, that they're not actually good to have, take.
You mean the whole coconut?
Yeah.
All right. I have not seen anything on the Thai coconut. I can only refer to the organic coconut, but you don't need to get Thai coconuts. In California, you have fresh local coconuts that you can get at the farmers markets.
I haven't seen them, but I'll look.
Yeah, they're there.
Okay.
When I was out there recently, I got some.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All the best to you, Monica. Kevin from California. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Dr. Nau. How are you?
Good.
I'm trying to help out my mom here. She has this calcification, like the size of a pea, small pea, in her right hip, and that was verified through x-rays and also MRIs. So I was wondering what I could do just to let you know that she's taking she's been taking like calcium from citrate, magnesium, and vitamin D, and you know, boron and stuff like that for the past 5 years. And I was wondering if that could have anything to do with it, or is it from before? And what can she do to get rid of that calcification? Because it's very painful during sleep, and she also has problem walking as well.
There would be no way to know whether it was after or before. The key is, when we have an imbalance of minerals in our body, it ends up causing, and also an excessive pH that's too acidic, it can cause calcification. Now, where the calcification occurs, it could be in the arteries, it could be in the joints, depends upon a person's susceptibility. So what I would suggest is that you first put your mom on a very good alkalizing diet. That will be one of the very first stages. And then chelation therapy, because chelation helps break down the heavy metals in the body, including the calcium deposits. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have calcium. You should, because calcium is essential for the formation of our bones and teeth and our gums. It also helps regulate our heartbeat and the transmission of nerve impulses. And it lowers your cholesterol and helps prevent cardiovascular disease. Without it, you don't have muscle strength and contraction. And it can help prevent muscle cramps, along with magnesium. And the form she's taking is certainly the best form, calcium citrate. And it also is essential in blood clotting and helps prevent cancer. And it can lower blood pressure and prevent bone loss with osteoporosis. In fact, calcium provides and participates in the protein structuring of RNA and DNA. And it actually is involved in several enzymes, including lipase, which breaks down fats in the body. So you need that for membrane permeability and aids in neuromuscular activity and helps even with healthy skin. And so you want to get your calcium from... Oh, as a fish, it would be sardines, but I believe we should be getting more from our dark green leafy vegetables. So the more juice you have, the more you're going to have it. But almonds, asparagus, broccoli, cabbage, carob, collard greens, and dandelion greens, and they're all good with kale and mustard greens and oats, sesame seeds, tofu, turnips, and watercress. They're all good. And, but I would also ask your mom to take her calcium with lysine, L-Y-S-I-N-E. It helps with absorption. And, let's say 500 milligrams of lysine would make a big difference. And by the way, for the female athlete, Monica, who just called, most female athletes and menopausal women, you need a lot more calcium, because their estrogen levels are lower. And estrogen protects the skeletal system by promoting the deposit of calcium in the bones. And heavy exercise hinders calcium uptake. But moderate exercise, like power walking, promotes it. But you have to have vitamin D along with that and also boron. So I would do a whole program. I would do chelation. I would give her an alkalizing diet, which would be the elimination of all meat and dairy and sugar and coffee and artificial sweeteners, and the inclusion of a lot of juices, especially cabbage juice. And I would also use the herb horsetail. Okay, all the best, Kevin. Hope your mom improves. I'm Gary Knoll, and we're in our talkback segment. I promised I'd share a little bit of information on some other topics. What a new research program. This was a joint group of the World Health Organization on food additives that published an article in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, and they found that, this was done at the University of Florida, that synthetic endocrine disrupting chemicals like biphenyl A and a natural steroidal estrogen, 17B estradiol, was in fruits and vegetables at local farmers' markets. They used a gas chromatography with a tandem mass spectrometry to measure this, and they found it across the board in all their fruits and vegetable samplings. How did these chemicals, these terrible and toxic chemicals, end up in the food supply? The answer was simple. Wastewater and sewage sludge, two things that as many would be surprised to find, are commonly grown, used in growing. While wastewater may contain as much as 95% water, the other 5% remaining is a biological and chemical atrocity. Even the sewage used in this protocol is just, it's the worst. When they use the words biosolids, that's human excrement. And that's what they're using. They're not allowed to use this in organic. Remember, wastewater contains humid sewage, industrial site drainage, toxic waste, pesticide manufacturing, petroleum waste products. All this is in there. One more reason, according to Sayer G. from GreenMed Info, who shared this with us, make sure you buy only local organic produce. It won't have that. Now to our vaccine update. And then I'll take some more calls at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I'm going to go through a lot of these very quickly. These are just from the peer reviewed literature. This is some CBS News. Cheryl Atkinson. Vaccines and Autism, a New Scientific Review. Quote, the article in the Journal of Immunotoxicology entitled Theoretical Aspects of Autism Causes a Review. The author is Dr. Helen Ratzkitz, herself a former senior scientist at a pharmaceutical firm. She did what nobody else apparently has bothered to do. She reviewed the body of published science since autism was first described in 1943. Not just one theory suggested by research, such as the role of the MMR vaccine shots or the mercury preserved thimerosal, but all of them. Here's what she states, in part, quote, listen carefully. Documented causes of autism include genetic mutations and deletions, viral infections and encephalitis, brain damage, following vaccination. Therefore, autism is the result of genetic defects and or inflammation of the brain, end quote. The article goes on to discuss many potential vaccine-related culprits, including the increased number of vaccines given in a short period of time. Quote, what I have published is highly concentrated on hypersensitivity, the body's immune system being thrown out of balance, end quote. Now, last week, we filmed her on the West Coast for a new film I have on vaccines coming out. And she is a leading toxicologist with a background in immunotoxicology. So for those who said there's no connection, oh, yes, there is. And she's one really smart person, and she's published in the peer-reviewed literature, and no one's going to be able to find a flaw in her work. I was asked recently, aren't all these vaccines made using proven safe ingredients? And my response was, do you really want human protein and DNA in your body because you're getting the vaccine? The person says, no, you're not. Yes, you are. This is the actual information from the FDA's website entitled the Vaccine Ingredients Calculator. This is what the package insert will show. And this was confirmed by a recent CBS News investigation. They looked at 23 vaccines. So there are three main sources of the human protein in vaccines: fetal cell lines, human albumin derived from human blood, and human albumin genetically engineered from yeast. Now, the human DNA in vaccines comes from the MRC5 fetal cell line, and that was developed way back in September 1966 from lung tissue taken from a 14-week fetus aborted for psychiatric reasons. And then a WI38 human diploid cell line derived from L. hayflick from normal embryonic 3-month gestation lung tissue of a female. And then a rubella vaccine currently used in the United States and in most countries was developed after an American researcher at the Wistar Institute cultured rubella virus from a fetal aborted because the mother was infected with rubella. So what you have, just so you're aware, for those who don't believe, or their religion or their values wouldn't allow them to have human protein injected into their body, you're getting it. All right? You're getting it. It's there. This is from, and this is very concerning, this is from Natural News from Jonathan Benson. Let me quote this for you. It says the following. The recommended childhood vaccine schedule has changed dramatically over the years, with children now receiving upwards of 30 vaccines, including multiple combination vaccines, before the age of 6. In many cases, doctors and nurses administer half a dozen or more vaccines all at once during a single visit to make sure children get all their shots and to save time. But according to data compiled from the government's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, as many as 145,000 children or more have died throughout the past 20 years as a result of this multiple vaccine dose approach, and few parents are aware of this shocking fact. In a study recently published in the journal Human and Experimental Toxicology, researchers evaluated the overall number of hospitalizations and deaths associated with vaccines administered between 1990 and 2010 and compared this data to the number of vaccines given at one time to individual children. Hospitalizations and deaths resulting from one vaccine dose were compared to those of two vaccine doses. In other words, the same all up to 8 vaccine doses. Researchers also evaluated overall hospitalization death rates associated with getting 1 to 4 combined vaccine doses. Upon analysis, the team found that the more vaccines a child receives during a single doctor visit, the more likely that child is to suffer severe reactions and even die. So, that's that. So, 150,000 deaths, that's a lot of deaths. And finally on this, tetanus vaccine causes new disease. This is brand new. No one has this. This is from Heidi Stevenson, Gaia Health, and it says the following. The tetanus vaccine causes a new disease known both as Hughes syndrome and antiphospholipid syndrome. It's an autoimmune condition that can attack any part of the body, though it's best noted for heart attacks and killing fetuses. It's likely that it will become more common with the new generation of vaccine adjuvants now being produced. The sufferers are mostly women, and its diagnosis is often made as a result of multiple pregnancy losses. It is typical of new diseases. Research focuses on finding genetic cause, in spite of the fact that the connection with vaccines is well known and documented. Here are the symptoms that you get when you get this vaccine: blindness, cardiovascular problems, deep thrombosis, blood clots in your veins, phlebitis, thrombocytopenia, which is deficiency of blood platelets causing bleeding and bruising, atherosclerosis, pulmonary embolus, clots in your lungs, heart valve abnormalities, stroke, headaches and migraines, miscarriages, neurological disorders, epilepsy, and transverse myelitis, inflammation of the spinal cord, multiple sclerosis, cognitive dysfunction. So that I'll bet no one told you when you were going to get your tetanus vaccine. And all African children still paralyzed after vaccines, government says. Quote, it has now been officially confirmed that in December of this year, 38 children were hospitalized after receiving the meningitis vaccine. Now they have meningitis. So the vaccine gave them the condition. 4,250% increase in fetal deaths reported to the virus after flu shot given to pregnant women. From Christina England, quote, documentation received from the National Coalition of Organized Women states that between 2009 and 2010, 1 year, the mercury-laden combined flu vaccinations have increased vaccine adverse events reporting system fetal death by 4,250% in pregnant women. And Eileen Deneman, the director, made abundantly clear that despite these figures being known to the CDC, the multiple strain inactivated flu vaccine containing mercury, thimerosal, has once again been recommended to pregnant women as a safe vaccine. Outraged by the CDC's total disregard for human life, Ms. Deneman accused the CDC of willful misconduct, saying that they are responsible for causing the deaths of thousands of unborn babies. She stated the CDC deliberately misled the nation's obstetricians, gynecologists, and colluded with the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology to mislead the public by advertising the flu vaccine as a safe vaccine for pregnant women when they knew fully well that it was causing a massive spike in fetal deaths. In a letter to Dr. Joseph Marcola, Manaman wrote, quote, not only did the CDC fail to disclose the spiraling spike in fetal deaths reported in real time during 2009 pandemic season as to cut the fetal losses, but also we have documented a transcript by Dr. Maria McCormick, chairperson of the Vaccine Safety Risk Assessment Working Group, on September 3, 2010, denying any adverse effects in pregnant population during the pandemic. And then it goes on to talk about the proof of all this. So once again, the CDC lied, the media picked up the lies, the doctors picked up the lies, and there was a 4,250% increase risk in or death rate in the fetuses of women who were pregnant and trusted. And if you think that the pentavalent vaccine is safe, wrong. The Office of Medical and Scientific Judgment, January 29, 2013, quote, concerned with the deaths following administration of the pentavalent vaccine, a group of academicians, professors, teachers, public health, pediatricians from different cities, including Pune, has requested the Union Health Secretary to withdraw it from the immunization schedule. By the way, the pentavalent vaccine, the DPT, the HIB, the hepatitis B, was introduced, and it's toxic, so that's that. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Gary, hi. Just a note to Monica. I had LASIK surgery about 10 years ago, and it was the best thing I ever did. I developed blindness after I got a number of vaccines when I was in third grade, and in the space of a week, I lost my eyesight, and I was legally blind from third grade on. So I can tell you without any hesitation, LASIK surgery, boy, I never take for granted my eyesight. So, you know, kudos to an athlete who gets LASIK surgery because it sure helped me in my athletics. I had been approached today by a woman who listens to you regularly, and she said that since she's been listening to you talking about all of the environmental issues, all the politics, the corruption, she's kind of like taking all this on. And she's losing sleep. She developed esophageal reflux, and she has all this anxiety. And she doesn't feel that she's alone in this. She listens every day, and she just feels like she feels like she's taking all this energy on. So I just thought I'd throw that at you and see what you think that she could do.
First, she shouldn't personalize anything. She should simply address whatever issue she feels comfortable about addressing. And let's say that there are 50 or 60 different environmental issues out there. Select one, just one. and then educate yourself on it, and then just become an activist at the grassroots level. But make sure that that activism does not imbalance anything else in your life. Otherwise, people that overemerge themselves in environmental or any of these causes burn out, and then they just abandon the whole movement. Well, that shouldn't be. Well-intentioned people with good motivation still have to maintain balance in all things. That's what I would suggest.
Okay.
And we're out of time for this program. I want to thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.